PNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, Corey Majors.
It's true.
And the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck are you? And how the heck is everybody out there in listening land? 877-881-1053. You want to get in on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube, let us know. 877-881-1053.
Well, I'm doing good. Kevin, I recently found out there's a listener out there that thinks I'm a serial killer or I give off serial killer vibes, and that's kind of throwing off my whole...
Let me pause you right there. Alec, this is an important question that will determine which direction this segment goes. Do you want to hear if I think that was an outrage until Corey told me further behavior? And at that point, I was like, well, that's not a good look.
I will always hear out the other side of the argument, so I want to know the examples.
All right.
So... last night, I did something that I know that I shouldn't do, right? And I went on to Reddit and started kind of perusing through the 105.3 The Fan Reddit page. At which point, I saw a headline that said, KNC was awful today.
Oh,
and I was like,
no!
I was trying to count how many days. I was like, was this our Friday show, the first Friday show? I was trying to figure it out.
Well, for those people on Reddit, trust me. There's days where I want to get on your forum and agree with you about that.
Yeah, no, I get it too. And so I kind of perused it and was scrolling through, and then I saw Kevin's fine. Alex, he said something about you too.
Oh, no.
What?
That's so
yeah,
rude.
Yeah, I know.
And for the record, this is why I don't check the Reddit, because both Bobby and Corey told me, yeah, don't look at
yeah.
it. Bro. It'll hurt your feelings. And I was like, oh, I get my feelings hurt enough on the text.
And then it said, but then there's Corey. And I was like, huh, that was all he said. Okay. And then somebody said, elaborate. And he goes, he gives off serial killer vibes. He's I don't know. They threw out the story of me stealing a painting, which I think it's pretty awesome that I was able to pull
it
off
from
a painting heist.
His jilted ex-lover.
Who I'm married to now. So that's another thing.
That's
and
true.
Then some other example. And I was like, what? So, Alec, what did I do? Did I comment, tell him I was going to come find this person and track them down? And no, I would never do something like that. I don't want you to know that I'm coming after you. So I did the upvote, just one little, there was one upvote on it. And so I was also the other person that upvoted it. And so Kevin thinks that that's serial killer vibe right there. And I don't know. I just upvoted it.
You upvoted the Reddit thread and comments that said you could be a serial killer. Does that not insinuate that you're like, yeah? Maybe.
I mean, I just wanted...
that laugh doesn't help. What are you, Tony Romo?
I just wanted to get... Oh, man. Dude, did you hear what
we'll
he...
get to
when
it.
He threw down the overdog? Ugh. Yeah, no, I just... I don't... I kind of did want to give him the, hey, I'm watching you, you know, vibe.
Okay. I'm not sure if you're getting this. The, hey, I'm watching you vibe mm-hmm. is probably part of what they thought was a serial killer S.
And then Texas Size Rip said, I read all of that, pretty lame. So I appreciate that. Most of the people, Alec, in the forum were like, I don't know, I kind of like their show. Somebody said that that we don't take ourselves too seriously, and that's what they like about us, and all these things. So I just, you know, I just didn't know exactly how to handle it after being given the serial killer thing. I feel like I'm pretty normal.
Huh.
I'm just a normal dad with three kids. And a lot of extra time on my hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Sounds like the intro to Reba's show.
The normal mom.
Loves his kids and never stops.
So, that's how I'm doing today, Kevin.
Okay. Well, there you go. From the 945, I'm doing great, Kevin. It's wild card weekend. From the 3-2-1, I'm not doing too well, Kevin.
Oh, no.
I'm worried for Corey because his Eagles got eliminated.
They're not.
That is a good point.
It's not my team.
And from the 940, I'm doing really well knowing both the Eagles and the Packers are eliminated. Happy birthday to me. And I think for a lot of people, it was the Packers' elimination, especially after Follow the trends. Follow the trends. The Carolina Panthers hung in there until the last minute of the game, because if the Panthers would have won, that would have given you the 19th pick. But since they lost, they have the worst record of playoff teams eliminated, and the Packers have the second worst, so you get the 20th pick. So you will roll into the draft, at least as of now, with the 12th and the 20th pick. So I think so obviously the Packers' loss was good for the Cowboys in terms of assets. The Eagles' loss was good for the Cowboys and Cowboys fans because we hate the Eagles.
Yeah, we also hate the Niners. Like
that's true.
That's a deep rooted hate there that goes back. But I guess more recently, hating the Eagles is because that's a long time thing there too. I think for me though, as a kid, my hatred for the Niners was they were in our way for what like the ultimate goal, four in a row, and so that's the hatred there. But yeah, man, watching the Eagles just not look functional again. They looked that bad all week, or all year, all season. I don't know how they fooled people into being the division leader, other than this division stunk.
Which we went over last week. It was the absolute worst division in football.
But yeah, it was kind of like the Chiefs, right? Where you were just like, they'll figure it out at some point, right?
Sure.
They gotta figure it out at some point.
Jerry would say, whoops.
Yeah, whoops. So they did that. They didn't fix that. But man, what an awesome football weekend. I felt that it really was, though, because you had it on. And that's really what it's about. The ability to just have some football around your life.
You know, I thought you were right for a while because you had said Friday after the first college football semifinal, which was unbelievable.
Oh, the Miami?
Yeah. You're like, every game's going to get better from here. And sure, the juggernaut that is Indiana has no time for that nonsense.
Good God.
But once we got back into the playoffs.
Even that game was fun, though.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that was a blast of a game for a Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was not as competitive.
No.
We moved into the playoffs, and Rams-Panthers, unless you listen to the show on Friday, was surprisingly close. And then
you were really pulling for the Panthers emotionally because of your hatred for Alec, mostly.
Not that, but we will talk about the Rams as the show goes along. But I did decide to put my money where my mouth was, and Carolina was +10.5 on underdog. And so we got midway through the fourth, maybe the early stage of the fourth. I was like, I'm good. I could see a scenario in which the Rams potentially win by 10, but I got 10.5. So I'm good to go either way. But that game goes down to the wire. Then it looks like the Bears-Packers might be a dud. But then that game is probably even better.
I thought that game was done. Like me and my buddies, we were watching the game, and we kind of got distracted, you know? We kind of drifted off into do other things, and then we came back, and all of a sudden, the Bears are in position to win, and we're like, what is happening right now?
Absolutely.
And as predicted, Colston Loveland was a dominator out there because he's their
really
best receiver.
And then Bills-Jags was unbelievable. 49ers-Eagles in a different way because of perhaps bias or the slower nature of the game was unbelievable. And then they saved the absolute worst for last in the Patriots and Chargers. And I'm not kidding. When the Patriots went up 9-3, I did kind of sit there and think, that feels insurmountable, which is ridiculous because you're like, a touchdown would put you in the lead. But I'm watching, I'm like, there's no chance. And it makes sense that on what, two of the last three or two of the last four plays, Justin Herbert got absolutely annihilated, because that's the only way that game could have ended, because that offensive line absolutely sucks, and he was getting drilled into the turf again and again. And those last two sacks from New England might have been the most violent. It was a horrifying end to that game.
Yeah, the only real thing that the Chargers had going was when Justin Herbert had an opportunity to run.
Yeah.
And so this is where the debate of Justin Herbert, is he a good quarterback or no, comes into play. Miserable
right?
offensive line in front of him.
And that is
true.
That
is atrocious. But there are plays where you're like, do you see it? I feel like you can make every throw.
Yeah.
But do you even see the throw that's about to happen? And there were some drops too. There was some bad receiving in that game too. So I don't know exactly what it was, but that's what I expect from the Chargers.
Yeah.
That's what I expect from a Justin Herbert team. They're a boring offense. They just, they're all right. Like, that's what it is. But it doesn't feel like they play at a high level offensively of what I should expect from them. If Justin Herbert is as good as we think he is, I think that the dude has all the qualities except for maybe the ability to see what he's supposed to do.
And from the 806, so can we all agree Kyle Shanahan is the best coach in football? I don't think he's going to win Coach of the Year because I would assume Vrabel, but what that team is doing, and they picked up a whole lot more injuries, in especially with Kittle, in that Philadelphia game, their continued advancement, not only to the playoffs, but now in the playoffs, is freaking incredible, plus some serial killer follow-up. From the 214, just thinking logically, Corey, you don't have time to be a serial killer. You definitely have the size and strength, but I'm not really seeing how you would hide that from your family, and then multiple people threw my name in the mix, which is kind of hurtful. And then
Kevin didn't need to be brought into this.
And then somebody said Corey loves the Eagles so much he dropped the E out of his first name so he could hide his fandom. And then one person
that is pretty clever.
That is. And then one person, and one person alone, speaking of clever, said they needed a joke to help start their day. So you never know when that joke could happen. Just as an aside, Alec, what kind of shoes do frogs wear? Open-toed sandals. Whatever. You guys are stupid. That's a great joke. From the 214.
I know, man.
It's such a long layout.
It's just because he thinks it's so funny, too. That's the other part.
That person asked for it to start their day.
You could have texted it back to him, you know?
Yeah.
You really could have just been like, you know what? I'll wait till the break, and I'll send a text.
You know what?
Here you chose to use our time, the listener's time.
You make a fair point. From the 214.
It could have been a very personal thing between the two of you.
That's fair. We see the entire phone number. But in case you're ever wondering, we're not going to read out the entire phone number because we're not crazy, but we see the whole phone
321.
Number.
321. Oh, hold on. Bye.
Don't read out. No.
Okay.
K and C, you guys rock. I enjoy listening to your show Monday through Friday. My favorite 4 hours during the week. Don't stop being yourself. Love y'all even more that you support my possibilities and cover mental health because no one cares about that more than you. Love y'all, be you. Well, that is just
Thanks.
Freaking delightful. And from the 901, this is an interesting question because we used to call the Chargers' old quarterback, Philip Rivers, Romo West. Now,
did we ever call Romo Philip Rivers or Rivers Central?
No, we did not. Perhaps we should have considered that. But now you have the opportunity because the question becomes, is Justin Herbert Dak West?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because for all these things he can do in the playoffs, Dudsville.
Dude, that is interesting. Very similar arguments too. I think that the idea was though, like Dak has maximized every bit of potential.
For
like
sure.
Coming out of the draft, he wasn't considered a first round pick or anything like that. He's made himself there. Justin Herbert was kind of given all these things and then has never lived up to it. Whereas Dak kind of earns that first year with Dak Prescott was great, and then the playoff. Like, that's what it was. I think in playoffs, you can make that comparison, though. I think that for sure.
Alec, I don't know if you have thoughts about that or if you wanted to know what happened when the two slices of bread went on a date. It was loaf at first sight. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Screw you guys right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't worry. We got plenty more football coming up. Probably fewer jokes at the behest of the rest of the show.
Thank God! But
coming up next, the Mavericks and Stars Super Segment. Next on The Fan.
Seven to shoot. Outside the arc. Kobe White. Gotta go. Changing directions again. And then dragging through. Banks. And one.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get back around to football probably in about 20 minutes. But right now, the Mavericks and Stars Super Segment. Would you like to start with the Mavericks or the Stars? I will warn you, it's not super positive on either front.
Well, I will tell you something that is positively gross. All the jokes that people are sending in right now, Kevin, because of you.
Oh, man.
You've made this happen. And I feel like
some of them are pretty good.
I feel like we do need to hire Aiden to make a compilation of all of these jokes that you make and then all the disgusting faces we make whenever you do it. So
why didn't the son go to college? Because it already had too many degrees.
But that's a different story for a different time. But Kevin, I guess we should start with the Mavericks.
All right.
This is the worst part of it right now.
So we can talk about the game itself and getting freaking run by the Bulls after Jason Kidd got ejected from the game. I believe that was in the first quarter. But we didn't get the opportunity. The news broke on G-Bag on Friday, to which point I was like, son of a bee. Because at the time, Jason Kidd had talked about on Friday, Anthony Davis, you know, all we know is that he hurt his left hand and we'll update it. And then you find out, ooh, potential for torn ligaments, might be out multiple months. They're going to try to get a second opinion. And then you see him at the Bulls shoot around with a sling on his arm. And it just, the timing absolutely sucks. And I know what people are going to say, I totally understand, is Day to Davis, unfortunately, he gets hurt. And that's the thing about it. And I hear you, and I obviously have no leg to stand on if I'm going to try to dispute that. But the thing that is so freaking frustrating about this for me is you were so close to having that be somebody else's problem. Like, especially earlier in the week, you heard just the unmitigated gall of Anthony Davis's agent, like, floating out there that he preferred to get a four-year, $275 million extension in the offseason. Like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because he's already under contract for two more years, but I guess in that scenario, they'd be like, well, we'll void the player year, but you'd have him under contract for another 5 years. I can't get you to play for five straight weeks and barely five straight games. And it was almost done. Like, the Hawks had made their move of Trae Young. And I agree, Trae Young had already become an albatross in their locker room and they needed to move on. But part of the reason they made that move was to clear the way for the Anthony Davis deal with the Mavericks. You had a good idea of what the assets were going to look like. And even if you think that it wasn't enough, the Mavericks were going to add Zachary Risacher, a 20-year-old number one pick the year before Cooper Flagg in an admittedly weaker draft, but he has plenty of defensive and athletic potential and a first-round pick for somebody who you can't consistently get on the court and salary cap relief with a couple of players. You were so close, and now why would Atlanta do that?
Well, okay, so that's gone. Now they got to figure out what to do with that money, the things that they have available to make all this happen.
And I'll admit, I could be wrong about that, but I'm just sitting here and thinking,
right.
Why would Atlanta do that now?
Or they would start taking things away. Now, the reason they might is because they look at the player and say, we'll have him around.
And Jalen Johnson and to build around.
And we're moving, and the Mavericks would do it, obviously, less for the picks now.
Right.
And more definitely for the ability to dump contract. So that would be a reason there. But you have to find a way to incentivize Atlanta now. Like, more than anything else, they're going to be asking for more back in some way, shape, or form in order to make this happen.
I'm worried they take that pick away, which sucks because you have your upcoming pick and then not control of any first-round pick till 2031.
Yeah, which would, again, the Mavericks would want to because they can use some of that salary.
Yes,
but that pick would be you were in leverage.
Yeah,
and you had the best hand there. Now, I guess I'm kind of, should the Mavericks have moved faster?
Yeah,
whenever they saw Atlanta make the deal, or were they sitting back going, no, let's see how this thing plays out? Because Kevin, if you know Anthony Davis, you know you have to move fast because you don't have much time. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And that's a frustrating thing. It's fun to watch him play on the court with Cooper Flagg and that team. And then when they start doing things, it can be fun.
Yeah.
But the Mavericks, where they sit there going, hold on, we're not really sure we want to do this. What if we keep Anthony? Were they doing that? Or were they more like, no, we have to make this move. We have to make this move. It's just a matter of time. Because they didn't have that time. You have to move quick.
No, I still think it was the first one.
Or do you think Atlanta was kind of perusing their other options, too.
Actually, believe it or not, I don't. I still think it was that first one because, remember, we've heard so many, like, supposed statements, although they have not come out in the press directly from the people, but we've heard a lot of secondhand statements about how the Mavericks or their ownership really wanted to see this team play to kind of see what they would look like. You know, once Anthony Davis was healthy and when Kyrie came back. And I understand.
Yeah, I get it.
If you're thinking about the appeal of a potentially generational number one pick in Cooper Flagg to go along with when he's healthy, surely a top 15 player in the league, and Anthony Davis and the return, if he's healthy, of the engine that makes it all go and Kyrie Irving. I understand the appeal of why you would be like, I don't know, maybe we should stick with that. But like you said, they waited too long, and now you're not going to see it come to fruition. Because if you do see it come to fruition, when? In March, when you have no shot of probably even getting in to the play-in already as it stands. You're three games out of the absolute worst spot in the play-in and 10 games out of being in like the real playoffs to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this will be the plan whatsoever. I kind of hope they tell Kyrie to take his time and like, let's see Brandon Williams go all out. Let's see Christie, Nembhard, Najee Marshall to go along with Cooper. Like, let's see everything you got and let the chips fall where they may.
I know how you feel here, but if the boss came to you and said that, you'd be like, nope. I want on that court right now. As soon as I can be out there.
For sure.
And I don't know how you convince a Kyrie to take his time.
Yeah, no, that is fair.
But
I understand, I agree.
I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that they can still go out there. I mean, Kevin, the lack of bigs now, they can still go out there and lose plenty of games.
Right.
But I understand you want top four potential. Weren't the Mavs, though, like, weren't they destined to have, like, a 0.3 chance last year to get the number one pick?
It was like 1.5.
Magically, nobody knows how, they got the number one overall.
Look, if you tell me that could happen again, the top of this class is loaded, whether you think it's three potential all-star players, maybe four, maybe you think it's even deeper than that at the top. And that's the thing. Like, I know people wanted, and that's another reason, by the way, that Atlanta would have made that deal with you. Because you might be like, well, why would Atlanta trade away a draft pick? Well, think about it. From Atlanta's perspective, we all have rose-colored glasses with Anthony Davis at one point or another. And then you've still got Jalen Johnson there, who looks like they're who they're really building their franchise around. And then you had New Orleans pick. There's a really good shot New Orleans pick is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not number one, like, certainly you have to feel great about it being in the top four. So if you're them, are you like, hey, maybe we'll have A.J. DeMonta and Jalen Johnson and Anthony Davis. That sounds like a hell of a start to a roster. And I think that's why Atlanta would have been willing to throw in their other number one pick. And now, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong because I would still make that deal in a heartbeat, but I don't know about the motivation for Atlanta. In the meantime, for people that want to see the Mavericks move as low in the standings as possible, they got absolutely drilled by the Bulls. And one of the things that came out of that game, go ahead and give me cut number 14. Jason Kidd, he got ejected.
We have video of what just happened. We got a lot to clean up here to tell you about, everyone. Number one, Scott Foster. I'm not surprised by this, by the way. Scott Foster has ejected Jason Kidd from the game for just the second time as coach of the Mavericks. J. Kidd has been ejected.
Now, they put out the referee pool report. I'm going to skip closer to the bottom. Question. So to be clear, they were granted the timeout but not allowed to make the challenge. That's correct. Follow-up question. And what did Jason Kidd say to earn the ejection? He used profanity towards an official on two separate occasions and was given a technical foul for each occasion. Now, whether you think that's a Scott Foster issue, which feels like that was heavily
Scott
insinuating.
Foster doesn't like cuss words. That's why.
Or the Mavericks. Probably probably more of that.
I think the cuss word's probably big. He said on two different occasions.
And they got teed up.
He said profanity words.
See, and that's tough, right? Because I feel like if you're like, oh, that's some S, I don't necessarily know if you should get a tech. But if you look right at that person and you're like,
you're a piece of S.
Yeah, that that feels like that should be judged differently.
So if you're a Jason Kidd, you need to go to the Philip Rivers School of Trash Talk.
Yeah. And gee whiz, Scott. You're really giving us the business out there. Like, I feel like that guy's not going to get ejected, right? Now, in the meantime, I told you this was going to be, unfortunately, a tough segment. Go ahead and give me cut number 16, because we promised we would talk about the Stars as well, even though...
It happened.
Well, listen to this.
Rebound, back for Toffoli, fires, block, Celebrini, across, Eklund, Toffoli, scores! Can you believe it? The Sharks come all the way back and beat the Dallas Stars in overtime.
That was a hell of a call, but also, no, I can't believe it. This might have been the most agitating loss in this run. The Stars had lost six in a row. They have now lost seven of eight. Four of those were in overtime or in shootout. And this one was particularly agitating because you didn't come back to force overtime. You had it. You controlled this game. You were up 4-2 in the third period.
And they typically, going out of the second period with a lead like that, are doing just fine.
Yes. And I can't say it's in regards to what did we talk about last week, how bad the Stars had been or how mediocre they had been on 5-5. That was not the case in this game at all, because it was the penalty kill. The penalty kill was absolutely dreadful. On six power play attempts from San Jose, they scored four goals, including the game winner. So four of their five goals were on the power play, and they scored on four of their six attempts. Now, the Stars special teams has been really good all throughout the season, but this game absolutely sucked. And I know you still got a point. Whoop-dee-doo. That was a two-pointer for sure.
Going into Friday, Kevin, the Stars and the power rankings had plummeted from 2 to 4. And I feel like
they
need to drop about 28 more spots right now based on the way that they've been playing.
Yeah, look, I'm glad that power rankings might not fold in as much emotion as we feel like. Because right now I'd be like, put them 16, but that's too far. But it's just
middle of the pack, Alec. Middle of the pack.
And we don't want that. That's where the Cowboys sit on good days. But this was just a really frustrating loss, because you were playing a team that it looks like, theoretically, you were definitely better than. You gave up a lead. Your dependable special teams absolutely fell apart, and you only got 1 point. And maybe more importantly, you didn't have the chance to win another game. Maybe that's more important than 1 point to 2 points, is at least, even if you like found a way to win in overtime, you can be like, hey, we gave up the lead, but now we've won two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the case. Now you're still sitting with the losing streak before. You lost this one. You play tonight and on Tuesday as you continue the West Coast swing. So just as an aside, if you're hoping to get to sleep early and you want to watch all of the Stars games, these next two nights are not for you.
Kevin, I did see that Ovechkin got to 20 goals for the 21st straight season. Is that a cool thing?
That is a cool thing. But you know what's even cooler? Jason Robertson scored his 26th goal. Not good enough to be on the Olympic team, but whatever. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Yeah, I'm pissed off about it. Coming up next, I will calm down, and we'll get into some playoff porridge. Do you really care about making history when you lose? Next on The Fan.
Caleb in the gun. Swift to his left. Snap back, four-man rush. Caleb with a double move. Throw down the left sideline. DJ Moore inside the five. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. They've taken the lead on the Packers. With 1:43 to go, 25 yards, the same connection, week 16, a walk-off win, this connection, a three-point lead. Wow!
Wow! KNC Masterpiece, back here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I've got all kinds of stuff broken apart game by game, but it's time for our first delicious edition of Playoff Porridge. 877-881-1053 if you have alternate names.
Oh, I'm porridge, always please.
Ready to listen to that. All right, which game?
We need to get that as a drop for playoff porridge.
Oh, porridge, you can't. Which game would you like to start with?
Let's start with the first game, Kevin.
The Rams.
Look at you. You knew exactly which one I was talking about.
The Panthers. This is something to just keep an eye on going forward. I know the x-rays reportedly came back negative, but Matthew Stafford had to undergo further tests on his injured finger because he said he had a finger on his throwing hand that bent backwards during the Rams' 34-31 win over the Panthers. And you saw him kind of fidgeting with it a couple of times. Now, they were still able to win the game, obviously, and he had a captivating final drive as Stafford and the Rams went 7 plays, 71 yards. It ended on a 19-yard touchdown pass, Colby Parkinson. You just heard that. But definitely something to keep an eye on because, I mean, look, big opinion right here. You lose any of your quarterbacks for any of these playoff teams, feels like it's going to be hugely problematic, especially one who's either going to win or finish second for MVP.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that team specifically relies so much on what he does. Now, Sean McVay's a fantastic, brilliant offensive mind. I mean, nobody can stop talking about the three tight end usage. Nobody's ever seen three tight ends on the field at the same time before until Sean McVay did it, I guess.
Right.
But, like, that's all they can talk about. But the connection that he has with his two receivers, Puka, and I know that Devontae didn't have his best game. I think he had, like, 13 targets and only caught 5 of them. But Puka is one of the best receivers we've ever seen, dude. Like he just plays the game that way. And yes, if Matthew Stafford's not there, that connection goes missing. That's what you're hinging this season on. I think no matter what, Matt Stafford will figure a way out to be on the field.
Okay, I want to go back to Puka Nacua.
I'll just say cut it off.
Because actually, I could see that like Ronnie Lott. That might be more complicated for him throwing the ball. But you brought it up, Puka Nacua. Unbelievable in that game, except for having maybe the worst drop of the entire weekend, right? It was towards the end of the first half, right? He dropped a pass that was, they said, maybe a touchdown. 100%. He was going to score a touchdown, and it looked like the most rudimentary pass in the world. It was so weird to see a player that is so dominant, 10 catches, 111 yards, and another touchdown, have just like such a simplistic drop. It might have been the thing where he was like too open,
maybe,
or too excited.
Expected somebody to be there. Like the way that the Panthers had played him too. The way the Panthers were playing in that game defensively, you kind of expected somebody to hit him pretty good. And that, yeah, it was just kind of one of those that he should not have dropped for sure.
Yeah, and it looked like for a while that could have been one of the things that kept the Panthers moving and obviously kept the Panthers in the game, but did not end up mattering as the Rams win.
I do have some questions, by the way. Do we not want Bryce Young to throw on the run anymore? I don't know how many times you saw him throw the ball and like you're like, what even was that, dude? That was, Like that's, he confused me a couple times. A couple times he made some really good throws.
Yes.
And then there were others where I was just like, I don't even know what's happening here.
Now, which game would you like to move on to next?
They also shouldn't abandon their run as much as they do.
That is a fair point.
Because, I mean, when you have Rico and Hubbard, you should not.
By the way.
You should rely on that. Even in the instances where you're down the way you were, I think that's still your best thing. Although Jalen Coker had a good game, but that's still your best quality.
I'll pick that up in a little bit, but it sure does sound like that might be what pushes Rico out the door.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
Kevin, I'm going to skip ahead then.
Okay.
And I want to go to yesterday's first game. So we're doing first games here. The Bills and the Jaguars.
Give me cut number 6, will you please, Alec?
He's had a few of them this afternoon. Empty set. Lawrence back to pass. Looking on an in-breaker. Broken up and intercepted. Picked off by Cole Bishop. Game, set, match. Buffalo's going to win the wild card game here in Jacksonville.
Did you think that game was going to go to overtime? Like, when Jacksonville gets the ball with 50, whatever, seconds, something like that, and I thought the game was going to go to overtime, clearly, almost immediately.
Mm-hmm,
tis
mm-hmm.
not the case.
I didn't have the faith in Jacksonville's offense that I felt I needed to believe that.
Okay,
And what ended up happening, Kevin, was kind of like the, you know when you have that pit feel in your stomach, you're like, something bad's about to happen?
Yes.
That's the feeling that I was having, just kind of based on the way I'd watched Trevor Lawrence play throughout the day. I was like, I just don't believe that it's going to happen. And then the interception happened, and I was like, well, that's why I didn't believe it. Like, that's exactly
okay.
The turnout
okay.
I was expecting. I didn't get the best Josh Allen game, But good God, did I get the toughest Josh Allen game.
Did you also get the coolest tush push you've ever seen?
Probably so, yeah.
First of all, that play was amazing. Second of all, what in the blue hell were the refs looking at to say that was a touchdown? Like, when they went to the replay, that was one of the few times that you feel, like, oddly superior to the referees. You're like, there's
idiots.
No chance that's a touchdown. They showed it, like, 8 million times.
There's, like, 12 of them on the field. How did they not see it?
Yeah, and clearly that was not a touchdown, but that play was unbelievable. What's interesting about that is a lot of people brought up the irony of Sean McDermott, who before the season was one of the coaches who spoke out against the tush push because he said he was concerned about the health and safety of the players. You saw them run that multiple times to good effect. And so some people were like, hey, what about that one part? And I'm sure he's like, who cares?
Yeah, they said it was legal, so
yeah, exactly.
We're running it.
Exactly. First road playoff win for Josh Allen. He had been 0-4. Probably more amazing than that, this is the Bills' first road playoff win since the 1992 AFC Championship game.
Dang.
So, like, lest you think this is just a Josh Allen issue, they hadn't won a road playoff game in 33 years.
Wow. Kevin,
that's
what's kind of fascinating about that, too, is we would have had overtime had the biggest leg in the game made his field goal in the first quarter.
You know what? It was a brutal...
Or the first half.
It was a brutal weekend for kickers. But you know what was a trip? Is seeing that field goal line right at midfield? Because you know they'll be like, here's where you have to get to kick a field goal. It's sitting right on the logo. You're like, oh yeah?
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
You know, what I was upset about was when they showed the graphic that had him in the top two spots, and then it had Chase McLaughlin and all, and Justin Tucker and Brandon Aubrey way down there at 65 yards. It didn't say indoor and longest
that's
outdoor.
That's right.
That infuriated me. Like, I was sitting there going, how do you not have that on the list? This needs to be on the graphic. Y'all didn't know? People need to know this stat.
What's more impressive, the longest two field goals in NFL history or the longest outdoor and the longest indoor? Okay.
That.
All right.
The fact that you have, like, you're like, yeah, is there another way that I can do it underwater? Dare me.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, if he hadn't, that's what's crazy is he missed that one. That could be a tie score that sends it into overtime. These teams were evenly matched. They were evenly matched teams. It was a fun game to watch. But there were some, like, the first and third quarters were kind of like, but there were some other really spicy moments in the game.
And we're probably not going to play the audio here as we're moving, but yes, I did hear the lady who kept telling Liam Cohen, it's all right, you did your best, like, keep your head up.
I love positivity.
For sure.
I also feel like this is just based on how we were kind of raised in this all. In the press conference room, you're asking questions
right
for that. You're not, that's not, you can tell them, you can
sure.
send them a card later.
Yeah, yeah. I do understand that line of logic. All right, pick one more for now. Tell me one more.
Give me the second game from Saturday. That would be Packers-Bears, Kevin.
Bears.
Yep.
Sorry, on the brain. All right, Alec, can you give me cut, you know what, give me cut number three, please.
Long time with the Broncos, second year now with the Green Bay Packers to try to make it six up, and the kick is no good.
I appreciate that Al Michaels sounded fired up for this game. Obviously, we have talked about, I mean, per Al Michaels, he had been very monotone for a whole bunch of the way. I wanted to throw this out there real quick, and this was my question about, do you care about making history when your team loses? Jordan Love had four touchdown passes in that game. That ties the record for most career postseason touchdown passes at Soldier Field. Not for a game, for a career. So Jordan Love, in one game with four touchdown passes, tied the all-time record for most touchdown passes at Soldier Field. He is tied with Jim McMahon, who played five games there.
Oh, man!
I think Matt Hasselbeck,
five
too,
games or five
game.
Years?
No, five games.
Five, okay.
He played five playoff games and had four touchdown passes. Jordan Love had four in one game, beating out Joe Montana, who also threw three there in one game. Jordan Love, third quarterback in NFL history to lose a playoff game while throwing at least four touchdown passes and no interceptions, along with Josh Allen and Alex Smith.
Two things about that game, Kevin. One, DJ Moore had not had six receptions all season.
Is that right?
And he got six receptions in this game, and a significant big play that was important for that game, obviously, too. And then Jordan Love, Kevin, last year, we'll get to this in the C block, was also three touchdowns, no interceptions, and a loser. So this is 2 years in a row. He's got seven touchdowns, no picks.
He's
lost.
He's going to be in the misses. We're the KHC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk Oregon, Indiana, going all the way back to Friday night, and have you adjusted to and accepted the new reality of college sports. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.